Well, think what a letdown the wilderness must have been for the children of Israel. They had just escaped from Egypt, where they had been slaves. They had walked on dry land through the sea while the water stood up on the side of them, driven by the wind, and let them pass. They had watched their overlords drown behind them. They had danced, they had celebrated, they had sung songs of joy and victory. But now it is 6 weeks later, and they are in the wilderness. The hot, dry desert where no crops can grow. There is no life there, no sign of hope. Just sand and rocks for mile after endless mile. They're not prepared for the wilderness. They are city people. All they have ever known is Egypt, a nation of cities and fertile plains, fertile land, fed by water from the River Nile. They're accustomed to streets and buildings and crops growing in well-watered fields. But here in the wilderness, there are no buildings, no crops, just barely a very little bit of water here and there. There's only the sand and the hot, dry wind. They are unprepared for the wilderness. How can they possibly live there? How can they possibly find food there? They see no sign of anything to eat. And so they complain to God. They want to go back to Egypt, to the old and familiar. They were slaves back there in Egypt, but at least they knew how to live there. They knew how to find food there. In the wilderness, everything is different. Everything is new and unfamiliar and unstable. They want to go back to the kind of life they understand, to the old familiar life of slavery. Instead of moving through the wilderness to freedom and to the promised land. Well, we also know that feeling, don't we? The feeling of being in the wilderness. That frightening feeling when our resources run out and we don't know where or how to find what we need. We're not in control. We're vulnerable to forces that we do not understand. And so we try to escape from the wilderness. We want a world that is predictable, a world where things are under our control, a world where every problem has its solution. Maybe a money solution. Just pay enough and you can buy a solution for your problems. Maybe a knowledge solution. Just ask an expert or read a book or search the internet and you'll find the answer. We naturally avoid situations in which there is no solution except the solution that God provides. We want to be insulated from pain and risk and danger. And then we will not be forced to rely upon God and upon God alone. The trouble is that we never quite succeed in avoiding the wilderness. No matter how hard we try to create a safe, predictable world where every problem has its solution, the wilderness keeps invading our lives. There are many wildernesses. Being born was a wilderness experience. None of us remembers it, but when we were born, we were not able to control anything. We were completely dependent upon others. And there have been other wildernesses throughout our lives. Our first day at school, that time our family moved to a new location, leaving home, beginning our first job or any new job, getting married, raising children, retiring, getting older, approaching death. Now, all of these kind of situations are situations in which, or most of them are situations in which there is opportunity and promise, but there's also uncertainty. There's the unknown. And then there are the other wildernesses which come because of difficulties and hardships, losing our job, being unemployed, losing a loved one, dealing with our own illness or the illness of someone close to us. Death is the ultimate wilderness, the ultimate experience of uncertainty. Leaving this life on earth that we know and understand, and moving on to another life beyond death, about which we know nothing, except that God is there and God loves us. The wilderness is a place of risk and uncertainty, but it's also the place where God's people learn that they are guided and protected by God. Their needs are supplied by God. Deliverance comes to the Hebrew people, but it does not come by removing them from the wilderness. Rather, it comes by having them stay in the wilderness and learning to trust God there in the wilderness. Quails are blown into their camp by the evening wind, and in the morning there are these white bread-like flakes all over the ground, maybe secretions from a tamarisk tree, but whether they come from a tree or from the heavens, they are a miracle. This bread-like, edible manna comes to them not by their own labor, but by the hand of God. And it comes to them at a time when they had given up hope, when they saw no sign of any food from anywhere. It's one of God's surprises. Who would have thought that there could be food there in the wilderness? But there it was, supplied for them in abundance at the beginning of every new day. And so there was food where none was expected. But for those who could see, something more important than food was there. The glory of God was there in the wilderness, and it was God who helped them when no other help was expected. Well, God's hand is clearest, I think, in our wildernesses. In other times, when things are going well, we can fool ourselves into thinking that that our well-being is dependent upon our ability, our hard work, our intelligence, our ability to provide for ourselves. But when we're in the wilderness, we know that that our future is not in our hands. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That does not mean that God makes the wilderness an easy place to live. Wildernesses are always harsh, but the wilderness can be a place where we learn to trust God and find that our only real security is in God. So this passage tells us that we can trust God in the wildernesses of our lives, in those experiences in which we cannot control, those experiences of uncertainty. But this passage is also a call to us to go voluntarily into the wilderness, to stop playing it safe, to stop always trying to be able to control everything, to take risk, to enter into uncertainty for God. Now, do we dare do that? Do we dare undertake responsibilities when the outcome is uncertain, when we may fail? When all we know for sure is that God will support us and guide us. For example, do we dare tithe, giving generously of the first part of our income, trusting to God to give us what we need? In the middle of the dry sands of New Mexico, for many years, there was a pump with these words, a card there by the pump with these words written on it. The word said, "I left this pump in 1932. It has worked well ever since, but the washer is dry and needs moistening. I have buried a bottle of water behind the pump in the sand out of the sun. Just take the water and prime the pump and pump like crazy. You'll get water because the well has never run dry. When you have had enough for yourself, just fill the bottle with water and leave it for the next person who comes along." Signed, Desert Peak. Well, do we play it safe and drink that water in the bottle, or do we use that water to prime the pump, trusting that there will be more than enough water for ourselves and for others? Do we seize what we know we have and hold on to it? Or do we trust God to provide more than enough for our needs and for the needs of others? Good congregations also are often in the wilderness. What is true of individuals is true of churches. During this time between pastors, this church is trying to find God's direction for its future. The CAT survey was part of that effort to find directions from God. And now the church must use the results of that survey in order to find how it's going to move into the future. Now, does this congregation dare undertake responsibilities and challenges that will stretch it challenges that may be difficult, challenges about which the outcome is uncertain. One of the temptations which every congregation faces is the temptation to play it safe, to continue doing the same old, because that is familiar, to do only what they are sure they can do with the resources they know they have. But God calls us to trust in God's provision, to look for God's surprises, to look for God's help when there may seem to be no possibility of help from anywhere. Good congregations are always in the wilderness. They never have enough money or enough volunteers to do all they want to do. One of the things that I wanted for every congregation in which I was pastor was more stability, more certainty, more control over what we were doing. But God blessed my churches by not giving us any of those things, at least not immediately. God does not quickly lead churches out of the wilderness. Rather, God teaches churches to trust God there in the wilderness. And God provided what my churches needed there in the wilderness, more than enough to do what God wanted us to do. God provided quail and manna, bread-like flakes, for the Israelites there in the wilderness, so they had enough to eat. God does not give us a quick fix for our problems or a clear map to the future, to our destination, but God does give us bread for the journey, directions for the next few steps we will take, and security along the way. Whether it's in the church or in our personal lives, wildernesses are not easy places to live, but the wilderness can be a place where we learn to trust God and find that our only real security is in God. Let us bow in prayer. Thank you, great God, for leading us and providing for us in the wilderness. Help us not to be afraid of the wildernesses, but to know that you are there with us to help us. In the name of Christ, amen.